Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Rod Chalk.
Well, can I just before I start this morning, and I won't be long, but I wasn't going to do it, and I felt like the Holy Spirit encouraging me to do it again. So to do this, I should say. So I want to just give you a little bit more about the cleanse that's coming up. We started on January the 4th, and that is the first day on the Monday, and we go right straight through until the following Wednesday. And let me give you, on the evening prayer times that we're getting together on, let me give you a little bit of a hint on who's going to be coming on with us. And so as I already shared, those that are from Titian Ministry will be on with us on that Monday night, the first one. And then we have the privilege of having Brandy and Donna Penji be with us on the Tuesday night. That's going to be fun. I can't wait. There should be lots of laughter going on. We should be having lots of fun together in there. Then on the Wednesday night, now, of course, because of the fact that we are in lockdown and we're not sure really what's going to happen, we'll be doing a little bit of worship online with everybody, but as well, we're going to be having some testimonies from you guys, and I will be contacting you in the next week just to get a few of you to begin to do testimonies. On that Thursday night, we'll be meeting with Stephen Hanratty and just talking about how do we make an impact on our unsaved friends, those that we see every day all around us. How do we make an impact upon their lives? Anybody want to know more about that? Come on, that's good. I think that's going to be a great time together. And then Friday night, I just love the devotional that Lauren actually wrote this devotional for our really student life. And it's so, it impacted me. It actually got me to shift my thinking on something. And so we're going to get together. We've got some people from Centralia coming on with us, and we're still attempting to get others to come on with Pastor Jay. And we're just going to talk about really what's going on for our students right now and how we can pray and minister to them, even in this season. Then Saturday is really about walk your block. And so whether it's snowing or whatever it was going to do, we're going to get you out on Saturday, and you're going to walk your block. Now, let's not do this. Let's not walk up to our neighbor's house and start going, okay, and pray in this way. Okay, in there. We just want to be able to walk our block to begin to minister. Now, some of you do it all the time anyways, but we're going to again remind ourselves of these things. Sunday of that first week then is really all about rest. And we're talking about adopting a position of rest. And so we'll take some time to do exactly that on Sunday evening. Then Monday, it's going to be fun. We are going to have Pastor Dorman in the house, Pastor Dorman Sr. He's going to be with us on Zoom as a representation of the East Coast. We will also have Pastor Gary with us as a representation of the South Central. Steve Schroeder will be with us as a representation of the West Coast. Jeff and Sarah will be with us as a representation of Central Canada. And James Ariak will be with us as a representation from the North. Now, if you don't know who James Ariak is, you are in for a blessing, because he's going to tear it up when he gets on there with us. It's just going to be so much fun and to see. And all of them are going to bring testimonies of what God is doing. And then on that Tuesday night, where as well, it's really, we're going to have Pastor Kathy with us at that time and a few others. I'm trying to find a few others, prophets. I'm waiting for some information back for sure on them. And then that last day on that Wednesday, we're really going to be declaring into our next. So this is a time, this is exciting to me. I'm not sure I'm expressing it right or not in there, but boy, I'm excited about what God's going to do in this next season. So let's pray together. Father, I pray now that you would take my words, that you would use them, that may my life bring glory to you. In your name I pray. Amen. If you're looking for a title for my sermon today, it's My Life as a Gift. That would be the title. That would be the thing I want you to walk away with. If you forget everything that I say today, walk away with this, is that my life is a gift. Now, the point is that when we begin to give out our lives, and we'll talk about this as the sermon goes along, but when we share our lives with others, you've heard me make this joke before, but really we don't want them wanting to return the present. Okay, in there. We don't want them. We want them to receive our lives and what God has given us so that we can begin to bless others. I don't know what Christmas is like at your place, but I remember as a kid, man, you just couldn't wait. I remember trying to wake my parents up as a young kid. You know, they're still wanting to sleep in, okay? And I mean, it's only 4:30 in the morning. Come on, let's get up. Let's have Christmas. Okay, none of you had that experience in there. So their kids are just itching. I mean, you know, they walk by the tree every day. And you see some of them, you know, see, we had four kids and they are all different. Some of them, when I did not, they tell me this afterwards. We would leave the room and they'd be under the tree going, shake, shake, shake. Okay, the size could be this. And they were, because they wanted to know. They wanted to know ahead of time. Even to the point where for me growing up, we would always open one present on Christmas Eve. Some of you have different traditions that you do. You open them all up on Christmas Eve. But for us, we opened it up one because I just couldn't wait till the next day. I had to at least have one opened up. And I know for my kids that some of them would look over and we had this thing where I would make, okay, okay. So you hear me stumbling. We would do this. I would make my kids wait until I told the Christmas story before they could open up presents. Pastor Jay's looking at me. Woo. So we would sit there and they'd get up in the morning and, you know, they're already going, now? Is it now? Is it now? Is it now? Can we go? Can we go? Can we go? And we'd go, no, we get cake. Let's have some breakfast first. And they'd be like, and some of the kids would just sit there. They'd be okay. Some of my kids were just like, well, yeah, we're just waiting. It's okay. It's cool. Others of them, you could see the intensity and the energy as he began to shake, because this little guy, the cutest little guy you ever seen, I won't say which one of my sons that happens to be on the camera right now, but he would shake in anticipation. Okay. He'd want to go. And it was like, it's like, dad. I mean, I would tell the Christmas story. I mean, he would sit there and you knew, okay, Daniel's to his limit. We better hurry up. And Mary had the baby. And yes, that's good. Okay. Let's go. And we would just tear into our gifts and we would have a great time. But there was an anticipation over these gifts. And I know that we try very hard to not make Christmas all about gifts. We are very, very actively, we choose this. It's not just something we leave to chance. We choose to not make Christmas all about Christmas gifts. But do you know that gifts are all throughout this Christmas nativity? They're all throughout the story. In fact, what I want to do just for a few minutes is I want to walk you through the gifts of Christmas. The first gift of Christmas is this, and it may surprise you, but it's the gift of prayer. And it is the most beautiful gift. I have been reminded again recently of a few gifts that I wasn't devaluing. The Lord just wanted to change my focus so that I was looking over and appreciating them more. And one of them was prayer and the other one was repentance. And it wasn't that I had put them aside, but that I was getting a new revelation, shall we say, a new understanding. The Lord was showing it to me again like it was the first time. And in this, when I began to read the story and see, we have to go over to Luke. So let's go to Luke. Okay, grab your Bibles with me so that I know you have them. And let's go to Luke chapter 1, and we'll start at verse 5, and we'll go through. And really, let me just read the story first in this before I talk about it. So in Luke chapter 1, verse 5, it says this, "And there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous people before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless." Now, there is quite a reputation, isn't there? That is quite the reputation. "But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in the years. And so it was that while he was serving... So it was while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense." Now there's the first gift that we find within prayer is that for Zacharias, the gift of beginning or to being able to give ministry unto the Lord with incense. And this didn't happen to every priest. In fact, when you got to do this, your name went on a list and you didn't get to do it again. You went through, it was such an incredible privilege to be able to do this. So he finds himself in this place, doing his ministry at this time to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now pick up at verse 10 again. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, for he will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah." I'll just stop there. This story is so amazing. I mean, I don't know that, has anybody ever seen an angel before? Okay, so some of you might put up your hands to be able to say you've seen an angel before. I've seen an angel before in the sense that I've seen them both physically, but I've also seen them in the sense of that I knew in my spiritual mind that there was an angel before me in that. But this is a situation where he is going about his business. He is doing what he's called to do. He's offering incense unto the Lord, which we know if you even go over to Revelation chapter 5 and 8, it says this, "And when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held the golden bowls filled with what? Filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people." I am telling you, prayer makes a difference. Prayer impacts. Prayer changes things. And because my prayer has yet to change something doesn't mean it's not going to. Come on now, I say that again. Because my prayer has not yet changed something, it doesn't mean it's not going to. And when we begin to see, you know, sometimes delays, and we've been praying for things for years, we can become discouraged and wonder if this is even something that is being recognized. But you see, it's in this moment where Zacharias, is doing all that he's doing, and this angel shows up and he says to him, "God has heard your prayer, and there's about to be a son born into your family. And you're going to name him John." And it was so weird at that time for them, because you notice if you follow the story down later on, they even have to, when they first say his name is going to be John, they have to go over to Zacharias and say, "John? There's nobody in your family named John," because you didn't in those days just go like we do oftentimes and say, "So what do we want to name our kid?" There were only so many names involved in your family. And if that really name wasn't in your family, you often didn't choose that name. But they chose the name John because something different was about to happen. And you see this experience for Zacchaeus. I love this, is that in this moment, he recognizes that God has heard his prayer. Your prayers are heard every single time you either pray them in your mind or you pray them with your mouth. It's time to shift again back. And it's not that we say we didn't believe it, and it's not we say that we've forgotten it, but sometimes we don't respond like we believe it. That is me, where that sense of that first response is to go to God in prayer, because I know my God hears. And so if you're writing something down, after the number one is the gift of prayer that we find, but for Zechariah, it's to be heard by God. But there's another thing that happens within this story of Zacharias and Elizabeth. And we find it in Luke chapter 1, verse 11 to 17. And we see where Zacharias is going through. And let me just pick it up at verse 13. "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son.'" Right? So we know that in this moment that God is beginning to answer prayers. But for Zechariah, it was God heard his prayers. But for Elizabeth, if you're writing something down, God seen her. Listen to her response when she says this. We find it really over in verse 25. And this is what it says. "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people." Let's look at it in the Passion Version. And this is what it says there. "And she said with joy, 'See how kind is my God to gaze upon me and take away the distress or the disgrace of my barrenness. The gift of being seen was given to Elizabeth. I really wanted to stop here and say that God sees you. He sees you in your situation. He sees you if you're at home right now and just sitting there and wondering, is God even see what's happening right now? He sees you. And just like it was for Elizabeth, he recognizes your need and he is here to do something about it. Now that's good news. That is good news. That we are not just trying to figure this out on our own. We're not just stuck on this rock called earth and we have to figure it out on our own and whatever happens, happens. That we have a God that not only hears us, but he sees us and he moves. He's a God that wants to change things in our lives. You know, I think it's so amazing, this next part within the story, that she was, this is Elizabeth. Now, if you go to verse 67, that's Zacharias. If you look at Elizabeth, she was filled to overflow. She was filled with the Holy Spirit when Mary comes and talks to her. And the baby, John, jumps within her womb. But it says that Elizabeth, it doesn't say, and Elizabeth, the Holy Spirit came upon Elizabeth like it did so many times in the Old Testament. It says that she was filled to overflowing. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. And John, this special gift that has come into both of her lives, is filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb. How amazing. You see other people all around looking, going, when all of these things happen, because there's so much more to the story that I can't tell you about. But John is a wonder. John is a sign and a wonder. His entire life then begins to speak, and everything he does afterwards, again, his life speaks, his words speak. They bring shifting, they bring changing, they bring people to the point of repentance, they bring people to the point of looking at something differently. He causes them to stop. I mean, you see, can you imagine this weird looking guy coming out of the desert eating locusts and honey? I mean, this is, okay, everybody didn't dress that way at that time. It was weird. It was crazy. And yet he comes out and he starts to declare that there is a new way. He talks about repentance. And if anything for me, it's that repentance is that beautiful, sweet gift. Is anybody here? Don't put up your hand. Anybody here ever messed up? And don't put up your hand. Anybody here ever sinned? Anybody here ever really, really messed up where you thought, man, I'm not sure God can forgive this. And maybe your theology's been taught to you so well that you know that that's not true. But sometimes we act like it because we don't go into his presence. We may know that we are forgiven, but we don't act like we're forgiven. And you see, this is what this is about. John comes with this message of forgiveness that the Lamb of God is coming. Now watch what begins to happen. I'm just going to try to go through this. You see then, this is where I was talking about with Luke chapter 1, verse 67. And then Zechariah filled to the overflowing with the Holy Spirit. So both of them are filled with the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, and many of you, maybe you might be tired of me saying this, but I think it's really important. And please, this is no sense of anything. I didn't deserve, do anything to deserve this. But I have known the Holy Spirit intimately since I was 7 years old. I have been filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues since I was seven. I know that kids can be filled with the Holy Spirit. When someone says, are you sure? That you sure? Because I'm listening, it just sounds like babbling. Are you sure they really understand what's going on? I did not understand what was going on. I had an encounter with God that I couldn't make sense of. But as I went forward in my life, every day afterwards, God began closer and closer. And the intimacy that was created between the Holy Spirit and I got me through high school. Oh, come on now. Some of you, high school was awesome, was great. Not so much. Okay, didn't enjoy high school in there. But all of those times, all of those ridiculing, all of the making fun, my closest friends in my church introduced me to marijuana. Yay, youth group. Hey, they introduced me to marijuana. But guess what? It wasn't marijuana. It was oregano out of their mom's kitchen. And as they were falling around acting like they were, they got up and they looked me dead in the face and said, gotcha. All they wanted to do was make me fail. You see, that may sound like a stunning, really, really? See, kids do crazy things, don't they? Youth do crazy things. And you know, when I look at those moments, I had to get over my failure. Because you would say, did you do Mary Jane? No, I did not. I did not do marijuana. But I thought I did. And for me, I had to conquer that in me. And I still had to go to the Lord and say, forgive me, God. But it was the intimacy that I knew that my prayers would be answered, that I knew the Holy Spirit. Can I say to you right now, it is a season to be hungry for more infilling of the Holy Spirit. It is a season right now to sit in your room by yourself, to ask and ask and ask. And if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit in this way, because when Christ came into your life, the Holy Spirit came into you. But we know that there is a second filling. And I know that for me, that has been the expression of walking with the Holy Spirit in this way has been life to me. I have friends that have gotten a little frustrated over the years because they've sought and they've not had that experience. And for some of them, they just go, you know what? That must not be for everyone. It must just be for some. And I get it. I understand it. And it's difficult and it's hard. But I tell you, there's nothing like just sitting in his presence. Just go this Christmas. Take some time. Take some moments and just go, Holy Spirit, I'm not doing anything. I don't care how much my mind races and wants to go fix that thing. I am going to sit here. Holy Spirit, come. Fill me fresh. Fill me new. Because boy, you have wonderful things planned ahead in this next year. And I want to be a part of them. See, something else, that's the first gift then is prayer. The second gift is that God watches over. And that's the second gift that we find. And this is the shepherds. And it's kind of cool because I didn't know these things. Because when I began to write this out and go through this sermon, I wrote out the fact of these lowly shepherds, right? And the whole message that we've heard many times about God delivering a mighty message to these stinky shepherds, right? Okay, in this way. But do you know who these shepherds actually were? I did not know this fully. I had heard of it before, and I went and did some research on it. I'm like, Lord, one place is not enough. I need to find this in two or three places before I'm going to say something. But this particular group of shepherds, you see, sheep were not, according to the Mishnah, and I'm going to say that wrong, so those of you that are Jewish, please forgive me for saying that wrong, okay, in there. But according to this, sheep were not allowed to be kept anywhere but the wilderness, except in one place. And those sheep, in other words, you couldn't have sheep within city limits in these places, or you couldn't have sheep without outside of the wilderness, except for this one group or this one flock of sheep. And this particular flock of sheep had a very specific reason. This particular flock of sheep were the sheep that had to be spotless. They had to be perfect. These particular sheep are the ones that they were used for sacrifice. They had to be perfect. And you see, what would happen with these shepherds is they would be out in the fields, and it's so cool to when you begin to read this. Do you know that for them out into their field, there was a tower? And this tower that the sheep, some of the shepherds would be out in the flocks with the sheep, but some of the shepherds would be up in this tower, and they would be looking out over so they could see every single situation that was happening. So when we read the scripture and it talks about that the shepherds, it says there were shepherds in the same country staying in the field, keeping watch over by night over their flock. This is what some of them were doing. But when I think of these shepherds, you see, to be able, when you look at this, what you had to be, these particular shepherds are priests. And it's something that I never knew before. And I began to go look at it and go, Lord, show me more, show me more. Help me to understand this. There was a priestly job, a priestly rite that they had to perform, which was taking care of these lambs. And what they would do is they would wrap these lambs up in something called swaddling clothes. These lambs, when they went to take them for sacrifice, they were protected and they were wrapped up in swaddling clothes. So when the shepherds hear the angels say that today is born for you in Bethlehem, and all of a sudden they say, you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Can you imagine looking at each other going, he's here. He's here. The Lamb of God, the Messiah, the Son. That's why they said, okay, we got to go now. We got to go now. Let's go see. Let's go see. And can you imagine them walking in and seeing? And there was baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, wrapped as a symbol, as to be able to show us even of what is yet to come. And they began to fall down and they began to worship him. And they began to then go tell everybody, you think you could keep these shepherds quiet? Mm-mm-mm. They wanted to tell everybody of what they had saw. You see, this was such a beautiful gift for the shepherds to begin to see this. And they, I can't imagine the amazement. I can't imagine either when, you see, you might say, well, where would they have even got this? Where would Mary and Joseph even have gotten one of these garments from? Remember where Mary went? She went to spend time with Zacharias and Elizabeth and Zacharias the priest. Is it possible? I don't know these things for sure, but is it possible that Mary was given one of these cloths by Elizabeth? And that's what she had with her at the time. But this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. He is my God. He is my King. The last thing I want to talk to you about just really quickly here is the gifts of the wise men. And I won't spend long here because many, many sermons have preached about this. But you know that they came and they did not come. They weren't, okay, sorry to surprise some of you, but they were not at the nativity. Right? They weren't at the nativity. There was no star at the nativity. All of these particular things that we see sometimes in these cartoons and whatnot in there. But we know that this is now 2 years approximately somewhere, because even in the scripture, you'll see that Jesus is called a child. He is no longer called the babe, okay, in this. But we know that the wise men came to the house, it even says in there. So this is what happens. They walk in, they see the child, and they began to, it says, they opened up their treasures and gave. Now, here's the thing to know about these guys, and I'm not going to be able to go into a lot of things, but they all could have given gold. Every single one of them. By the way, we don't know if there was three. There's three gifts, but we don't know that there's three wise men. There could have been an entourage of them, because it says they caused a commotion when they came into town, basically. Can you imagine all of these coming in going, what is going on here? Why are they, what? They're going over to Mary and Joseph's house. Okay, you should go tell the other neighbors. Something's going on there. And it's like, and they're on their lawns. Can you, okay, I'm just using my imagination for a second. You know, camels are being tied to their trees and, you know, other things are going on their lawns and everything else going, come on, come on. What is going on? What is going on inside that house? And yet these wise men come and they present, they all could have presented gold, but I believe in my heart that they chose individually what it was that they were given. And they could even hear from God, really, to my heart, of what to give. That gold represents nobility. It represents kingly. It represents that this is God. When you think about it, what was at the Holy of Holies, when you think of that place in the temple, it was covered in gold. Again, the representation of our King, our God. When we look at, go just quickly skipping over to the frankincense. When we think of this, I love this. Frankincense is something that you don't really hear much of these days. But frankincense is an aromatic gum resin that is widely used still in parts of Middle East and parts of Africa. But it was produced by this. This is how they made frankincense. It was produced by scraping the bark of certain native species of trees and then harvesting the beads of resin after they had dried. In other words, they were ripping the flesh from the trees in order to get this particular thing. When I read it, immediately came to mind my Jesus when he was at the crucifixion and his back being torn to shreds. And all for me, all for you, that healing that is there for us. But when we begin to read and we can see there's so many symbolisms of high priest and priesthood. The myrrh came in. It was a representation. We know that it was used for embalming, and it's a representation, again, to see his death. It was such a gift for us. But if I could kind of just wrap everything up here quickly. The conclusion is this for me. Can you imagine Mary and Joseph's faces when they brought in all of these treasures? Such lavish gifts. Can you imagine? Like, just use your imagination for a second. They're just like, what is going on? Why do we need all this gold? Why do we need all of this frankincense? Why do we need all this myrrh? What is happening? You see, but soon they would find out, because all of this could be converted to money for the trip that they were about to make through Egypt. And I would put it this way, that he thought of everything. Everything they would need. And in those moments, can you imagine for Mary and Joseph? See, we just sometimes want to go by the story so quickly. But how many of you ladies have had children before and you'd like to have one in a barn? Or in a cave? However you want to see. No, I don't think so. See, Mary had, and Joseph both had the information that the Son of God was about to be born. Do you think that they would have been thinking in their head, when we get to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem, we get in there, boy, it's going to all work out. It's going to be great. And they get in there, what do you mean there's no room? What do you mean there's no room? I'm going where, Joseph? Because we all think Mary says, yes, I'd love to go to a barn and have a baby. No, I don't think that's the way it was. I think it was more like, Joseph, he's coming now. Okay, in there. What are you talking about going in there for? And there was no room. Can you see them even for Joseph, of what he would have went through in those moments of going, I can't even supply a place. How much the enemy would want to just go and rack around in his brain and beginning to say, see, how in the world are you going to take care of this child when you can't even find a place right now for him? And that's what the enemy likes to do. He likes to come in and he likes to tear us apart with what we would think we should have done. And I tell you, there's some of you here today that you find yourself in the same situation. You find yourself in going, God, what am I going to do? He's thought of everything. Come on, say it with me. He's thought of everything. See, I believe that we, in this next season, this is my challenge for you. Okay, and I will wrap up with this. I've said that about four times, I believe. I'm at least to the fourth. That's the fourth ending. Yes, here we go. Can I encourage you to see the gifts all around you? Take a look right now. See, look around you. Come on, take a minute. All of the gifts that God has given you. Okay, wave to a few of them. If you're at home, look around your room and see all the gifts. If you're by yourself at home, just take a minute and think of all of the gifts that God has given you, whether family, whether friends, whether you walk in faith with them. These are treasures that God has given to us. And can I tell you right now, I am going to fight for relationship. I am going to fight for relationship over right. A long time ago, I learned the lesson that Danny Silk teaches when you're talking about relationship over right. We may disagree, but I will not lose you. Come on, say it with me. I will not lose you. I will not lose the relationship that we have. I will not lose the friendship that we have. I refuse to let the enemy come in and do this to us. And you know what? Some situations are harder than the others. But we have to choose in this season to recognize, even if we disagree, we are one. Because we are family. We are walking together in the body of Christ. So take a look around and see the gifts. This is the second challenge that I have to you. Be the gift that your soul desires. In other words, is anybody here, there's a sense that you would say, you know what, it'd be nice if somebody just noticed something nice that I do. Now, don't put up your hand. You say, well, I don't think that way. Come on now. I know that sometimes when we do things, we don't do them for that purpose, but we all need encouragement. If you don't need encouragement, I just don't think that's possible. Every one of us do. But can I encourage you in this season? Be the encouragement to someone else that you need. Give the word of life to somebody else that you need. Be that representation of Christ that you're hoping from someone else. You be that to somebody else first. If you need prayer, pray for someone else first. This is who we are. This is the body of Christ right now. That we have learned these things. Last is this. Be the gift that God has made you to be. Now I want you to do one more thing. Look around. There are gifts in each one of every one of us. God made you the way you are. He developed you the way you are. Now I'm not talking about the fact of my sweet Karen would like me to be a little less messy. God didn't make me messy. Although I must say it would have been nice if I could use that as an excuse sometimes. But it's not true in this. But God did make me unique. And I can be a representation of Jesus. And I can be a gift to somebody else. You, this week and in the weeks to come over this season, I want you to sit there and say, Holy Spirit, how can I be a gift to somebody else this week? How can I, what do you want me to say, Holy Spirit, to my family? You know, sometimes we don't want to be the one to maybe reach out and do it all the time. But parents, can I give you a challenge to sit down and ask Holy Spirit, give me a word for each one of my kids. Holy Spirit, give me a word for my best friend. Holy Spirit, give me a word, and whoever the Holy Spirit brings to mind, and be that gift in each other's lives. Amen? Amen. Amen. Pastor Jay. Okay. So let's all stand together. I commission you to go, be the gift in somebody's life. Remember that everywhere you go, Jesus is in you, and you can change somebody, and you can change the way they think, and you can bring hope into their lives. Amen? Amen. I bless you as you go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.